regular session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona, to be held on Tuesday, October 15th, 2019, at 7 p.m. at the City Hall Building, 915 South Tuberville Road, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Louis Pollock is excused. Councilmember Joni Giacomino is excused. Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Leslie Johns?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
City staff, Teresa Coleman, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Carrie Bagley, Finance Director, Jesus Haro, Public Works Director, Alberto Chavez, Police Chief, George Castillo, Fire Chief, James Ledbetter, City Attorney, is attending via phone.
Thank you. And welcome, Mr. Ledbetter.
Thank you.
For our moment of silence, I'd like us to remember Lou Pollock's mother. She's in hospital in Florida, apparently in critical condition, and that's why he's not with us, as he's flown back to be with her. So if we could take just a moment and keep her and that family in our thoughts. Thank you. Would you please stand and join me on the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll get to it here. I will give a quick rundown, maybe, of things that I've done in the last couple weeks. There's a couple things in there that I think should be of interest to people. On the 2nd of October, I attended a design review board meeting. And on the 3rd, I met with a member of the airport advisory committee who had just had left for a couple years and had returned and was asking to get caught up on items. And then subsequently attended that meeting with Ms. Johns as the liaison. The third of October was our first Charter Review Commission meeting. And it went very well. And Mr. Boyd Nickel is the chair of that commission. And Danielle Bouchevet is the secretary. And we're looking for good things for them. On the 4th, I met with the Mariachi Festival Committee regarding advertising that they want to do and discussing permitting and so forth that's coming up in reference to the Mariachi Festival. We also discussed, which I then followed up with, inviting the mayors of Naco and Cananea and Ava Priada to have them here. On the 4th, we had a meeting that evening on affordable housing, and that was with Habitat for Humanity out of Tucson, the Cochise County Health Department, and Ms. Johns was there also wearing her health department hat, well, both hats, and there were a number of citizens there also, and that will be on our further information will be tonight on our agenda. On the 10th, I met with Coalition for the Homeless regarding the Hillcrest Apartments. questions they had in reference to Gilchrist. And on the 10th, we had the mayor-managers meeting in Wachuca City, and hosted by Mayor Wallace, and of course, our city manager was there, and Mr. Pollock was there also. On the 11th, which was Friday, I met with Naco Cananea, Hermosillo, and Douglas, the mayors and representatives, to plan an event. And that's why I'll take just a couple minutes to discuss it so that I can give everybody a heads up on that event. They're hoping, we are hoping, for an event on November 16th. And this will be in Naco, Arizona, and Naco, Sonora. The plan is to close the street in front of Gay 90s, and the Mayor Ramos, on the other side, will close the street on the other side, and that we will have a concert back and forth across the border, and we will be using our large screen that we use for our movies in the park on our side. They will be having something hopefully similar on their side. And we are having some of our local musicians rounded up to play. They're doing the same thing on their side. And it's going to be, the entertainment on this side will be projected to that side and vice versa. And that will be on the 16th. It's going to start at 4:00 in the afternoon. Everybody's welcome. Not only welcome, but I hope we have a big crowd. And we're going to have a couple of food trucks there to take care of that part of the festivities. That same day at 1:00 in the afternoon, the Mayor Ramos and her contingent are coming across, and we're going to meet for lunch at Camp Naco. And it's going to be kind of a potluck. We're coming up with a menu, but Mayor Ramos indicates that her mother is an excellent cook and is going to be making some great food, and then we're going to be adding to that, so it'll be a lot of fun. So it's, again, trying to get our cross-border activities, the culture, the common culture, and the commerce. And Hermosillo, Sonoran Department of Commerce is heavily involved in this, as is Governor Pavlovich will be invited, and of course Governor Ducey will be invited. So it will be hopefully a lot of fun, and the first of many. So anyway, that's what I met on the 16th, and since then we've been inundated with more emails from Hermosillo, and I asked Ashley to be our point of contact here, and she's probably sorry she said yes. No. This last Saturday, I met with Shay's Stotts, and Shay is a candidate for the House of Representatives. He's a Republican candidate for the House of Representatives to be running eventually against, we assume, it would be Ann Kirkpatrick. And Shay, I gave him the courtesy, as I do all of the political people that are running, when they come here and actually ask to meet with me. I meet with them no matter what party they're with to talk to them. Typically, as in his case, he just wants to get caught up on Bisbee. What are the, you know, what are your major problems? What are your concerns? What federally do you need out of the government? This kind of thing. So I met with him. And then yesterday I met with a past member of the board of past board member of the Royale to discuss some ideas that some people have about developing the Royale into an art and culture district centerpiece. So that's what I've done the last 2 weeks. And with that, we will move on to real work. We have call to the public. Now, Helen Lampler, there you are.
Hello.
Are you a call to the public or you have a specific item you want to discuss?
Specific item.
Okay, which item is it?
It's the Halloween party in front of the hotel on the 26th. She might have signed the wrong form.
No, sir. It's just that she didn't put down what she wanted to discuss.
Oh, I apologize.
That's quite all right. Okay, so that's item number E?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, does she want to speak on that or is she available if we have questions?
We already discussed it with your panel last week.
Yes.
And we just came if there's any specific questions we could answer.
Excellent. Why don't we leave it at that?
Yes,
if we have questions, otherwise you needn't.
And I'm Clint, I have all the answers.
You have the answer? That's excellent. All right, then, we have no call to the public per se. And with that, I will go on to accounts payable subject to availability of funds.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $244,895.40.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Do we have any questions?
I've got one question.
All right.
On page 2, it's for sewer and garbage for public works, and it's $401.97. Is it usually that high, or is there a reason why it's so high for sewer and garbage?
Mr. Hara, do you have an answer? It doesn't look like you have an answer, Mr.
Hara. Okay.
We'll let the finance director give an answer. All right.
Yeah, it's the same amount every month. It's just all the departments that are charged a sewer and garbage fee. It's set up by department, so that's it. I think we based it off what we paid at City Hall, you know, for a rate for here.
So they're all combined in rather than, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was wondering. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bagley. Anything else? Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor of paying accounts payable, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. The consent agenda. This is items A through G. Items A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on October 1st, 2019 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the resignation of Michael McPartlin from the Design Review Board. C, approval of the appointment of Scout Day to the Youth Council. D, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Howell Avenue in front of the Copper Queen Hotel for a Halloween street dance on Friday, October 25th, 2019, from 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. This includes setup and teardown or breakdown. E, approval of an application for an extension of premises / patio permit submitted by the Copper Queen Hotel for an event to be held at 11 Howell Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, October 25th, 2019. Through October 27th, 2019, Helen Lampinen, applicant. F, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Joseph Lewis for an event to be held at the Bisbee Social Club, located at 67 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, November 1st, 2019, from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., with Joseph Lewis, applicant. G, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the American Legion Post Number 3 for an event to be held at the Jonquil Motel, located at 317 Tombstone Canyon, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, November 8th, Saturday, November 9th, and Sunday, November 10th, from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Betty Luther, applicant. I am going to pull for further discussion item F. Does anybody else want any items pulled for discussion?
I'd like item D.
That's D as in David?
Correct. I just got a question.
Okay. Anything else?
I have item F as well.
Yeah, me too.
Item F? Well, okay, well, that's what I...
Did we all want F pulled?
I think that's what I just pulled, right?
Right, so we didn't need to say anything.
It only takes one of us. All right, so it's item F and D. Is that it? Can I have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A, B, C, E, and G.
Thank you.
I second.
Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number D. This is the Copper Queen Hotel Halloween. What is your question?
My question is the music and how loud that's going to be until 2 in the morning. I'm just a little concerned. I don't know what the number of residents that are around that, but I know that if it gets too loud, then it does impact.
Well, I'll answer your questions. First of all, the date's wrong. It's for Saturday, and it starts at 7. We close the street at 8 o'clock, and the stand starts at 8:30.
Okay.
The original plan was like last Gay Pride, when it poured horribly the year before last. So all we did was we tried to leave a backup day, so we don't lose everything when we try to do this in case it rained. But it's sunny all day Saturday, I know that for a fact. But the whole plan was always for Saturday. There's another dance going on before. We're waiting until there's another event right around the corner. We're waiting for that event to end completely. And once they're done, that's when we'll close out the street. I've already got the signs, I've rented urinals, taking care of everything. And your question exactly was the music?
The music.
Well, typically we would play it as loud as we always have. I don't think we've ever had a complaint as the music, ever. But if you know someone complains, we'll gladly turn it down past 12 o'clock. I mean, we're here to work with everybody.
I think in the past it's been till 12, and this is, you know, till 2, so that was the reason I was asking.
My wife and I have owned the place for 3 years now, and it's never been 12 o'clock. I'm just saying, but I got no problem with that. It's always been beyond that.
Has it?
Yes.
Well, maybe it's just because I live there, really.
The bar's open.
Yeah, well, actually the music shuts off at 1:30. The permit just ends till 2 o'clock because we have to get everyone out of there and make sure everyone's okay. And we also hire two marshals from the Ranger Service. They come out every year to help us with the event.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve consent agenda item D.
I second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number F, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Joseph Lewis for an event to be held at the Bisbee Social Club located at 67 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, November 1st, 2019, from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., Joseph Lewis, applicant. You'll remember that the last time we tabled this, I spoke with Mr. Lewis. As a result of that, I informed him that the business license he had did not cover this premise for that purpose. He then has come to the city. There's a new business license on file. It is a correct classification. Subsequently, he has called the Bisbee Fire Department for an inspection. They inspected it. There were a couple minor discrepancies. He called again for a re-inspection. They were to come this morning to inspect it. The inspector called in sick. Joseph Lewis called me and said, what do we do? Is there any way that we can approve this contingent on the inspector who's coming tomorrow morning approving it? I said that I thought that was reasonable, but that I'd bring it up to the council. So what he's asking for and what I am actually, I will move it so we can discuss it, that we approve item number F, contingent on the fire department passing the inspection. Is there a second? Okay, it dies for lack of a second. What is your discussion?
Well, my question was just that this special event liquor license application looks so different from the one that Jonquil turned in, because they had like an actual liquor license attached to it and he didn't have one. So I wanted to ask Mr. Ledbetter why the Jonquil's look so legitimate and his look so not. And
is this the application?
It was just the application, and okay. So
With the Jonquil, they provided the liquor license.
Oh, also. Okay.
And they just don't have one issued yet, so they'd be going off of a special event license that would be issued after the fact.
Okay. That was just because I'm new. And
no, that's fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that was just my
So once it's passed with us, they will mail it to the state, and they'll be issued a special event license that will look similar to it and just be issued for those dates.
Okay. That was my only question.
Yeah that's...
Okay.
The questions I had was the business license, why that was in her stuff, but events or that. And then what are the dance performances? Did we ever decide if it was the fire dancing?
There's no fire dancing, and the chief was erroneous. As you recall, when he said,
he wasn't sure,
I remember it was somebody, but it wasn't that. There's never been a plan. And he specifically told me this morning again that he says if it comes up, there's not going to be any fire. He indicated that he doesn't even have open candles down there, that they have nothing but LED candle lights on the tables. And there's no flame down there.
Okay, so then I guess my final question is this just somebody that's having an event with alcohol, or is it for a specific group, or?
Well, the packet indicates that there's 25% that's going to a charity in Phoenix, as required by these special liquor licenses. 25% has to go to a charity.
But it's not for a specific group here.
It's going towards the Boys and Girls Club. That's what we're donating that to.
Mm-hmm.
We got a liquor license for a woman in Phoenix, but yet we're donating.
Thank you, Ms. Skye. Okay, so Boys and Girls Club. You good? Anything else?
I'll say that.
Yeah, I was just gonna yeah.
Well, okay.
Or do we need to make another motion?
I'll make a motion again that we approve this contingent on the fire department giving them a clean bill of health.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. It technically, once the motion was made, without a second to work to talk about it, but we're good. Our attorney didn't jump on me, so we're okay. He'll get me later. Okay, well, let's go to new business. Discussion of possible approval of a park facility right-of-way use permit for the Bisbee Coalition for the Homeless for the 5th Annual Bisbee Mariachi Festival 2019 for signs, trash barrels, dumpsters, additional dumpster pickup, and parking spaces on Friday, November 1st, 2019. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday, November 2nd, 2019, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with a request of waiver of fees. And this is here instead of on the consent agenda because of their request for a waiver of fees. So we'll open the discussion. Anybody? I've discussed this with them, of course, and it's a 100% of the money goes to the Bisbee Coalition for the Homeless, unlike many of these other things. and they do bring several thousand people to Bisbee. And that's their sales pitch as well, which is somewhat valid. So I'm bringing that forward for the council's discussion and decision. Mr. Higgins, what do you think?
It's one of the city's, you know, bigger events. It's everybody comes, has a good time. I'm okay with waiving the fees since you know, they will be bringing people to come.
Do we have any, I don't have it in front of me, the fee amounts there, right?
It's 1,060.
That's with the bus.
That's with the bus, yeah.
Yeah, now.
It's $661 less without the bus.
Correct, and we're, they want a bus, but they fully understand that we're not gonna buy them a bus. They understand that they're gonna have to look elsewhere. That was part of my discussion with them that I mentioned earlier. And so they are okay with that. I mean, they'd love us to donate a bus to them, but they understand that that's not gonna happen, that we have to pay a bus driver in Douglas and so forth. So what are the fees without the bus then?
$400.
So that's what they're asking for that or part of it or all of it or none of it. That's up to you. Ms. Glenn?
Well, you know, I like the idea of waiving the fees, but then again, you know, we may have another group coming before, you know, and then we get back into the, you know, let's just waive fees for everybody. I would be good with waiving half the fee.
Okay. Yeah, some of these groups that come to us, this is my opinion, and only my opinion, some of these groups that come to us, a small percentage of what they make comes back to the community. In this case, all of it comes back.
Right. And
that's why that's the only reason that I would even entertain it or bring it forward that way. So.
And we've got several organizations that do that, that everything goes right back to the organization. And I think that if it is a nonprofit and this is their fundraising and everything is going back, I think that that's at least that the city could do to help them out.
Well, I would like to say in this case, rather than setting a precedent.
In this case.
What I'm trying to say is Ms. Hansen, that I would disagree that any nonprofit. That
no,
goes
I said nonprofit that everything goes back to theirs.
Ms. Jones?
Well, I think our homeless shelter functions without any federal grant money, and that's really admirable, and I'm all right with waiving all the fees. So, personally, considering what they do and the budget that they run on, and considering that it does all go back. So, in this case, I am.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. So do we have a motion?
I move that we approve park facility and right-of-way use permit for the Bisbee Coalition for the Homeless, the 5th Annual Bisbee Mariachi Festival 2019. For signs, trash barrels, dumpsters, additional dumpster pickup. Park spaces are Friday, November 1st, 2019 from 5 to 7, and Saturday, November 2nd, 2019 from 11 to 7 with a waiver of fees.
I second.
Thank you. All those in favor, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried. And that reading specifically indicates that the bus, no bus, no buses in there. Item number 4. Discussion and possible approval of a contract for purchase between the City of Bisbee and Melcher Brothers, Inc. for mine car wheels and axle sets in the amount of $65,610. Mr. Graham, welcome back, sir.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council.
Yes, I'd ask for the approval of the purchase for my cargoes and access for $65,610.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Graham?
How many mine car wheels and axle sets are there?
It'd be 18 sets, so 36 wheels.
18 sets?
Yeah.
I was going to say $65,000 a word.
And I understand that Melcher is the only one that can do this?
I actually reached out to Klein Steel, and I called some Canadian companies, but they were not able to provide. Klein's never got back to me. The Canadians could only supply used wheels that were in poor condition.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the contract to purchase mine car wheels and axle sets from Melcher Brothers in the amount of $65,610.
I second.
Thank
Could
you.
I yeah. ask this question here? It says 64,000 here on this paper.
Yes, as I said, it's 65,000.
It's a typo.
Okay. Misprint. All right.
Sorry.
And it is correct on the council action form, council, so we're all good. Although, Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Higgins.
Aye.
Councilmember Jones.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Smith.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Graham.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time you want to buy something.
It should last a long time.
All right, item number five. You, Mr. Harrow, it's going to be a few minutes before you're up there, I'm pretty sure. I appreciate your eagerness, but I don't want you to fall asleep on your feet there. Item number five, discussion of possible approval of OK Street being changed from a two-way road to a one-way road with traffic traveling from Naco Road North to Youngblood Hill. And it will be Mr. Harrow, but before that, it's going to be Peter Young. You have 3 minutes, sir.
All righty. Evening, Mayor, Council, Clerk, and Manager. I've spent a number of days recently canvassing the residents of OK Street with a petition here. And the petition says that we residents don't want to have it turn into a one-way street. Be just like it's always been. I got names here from 34 residents, either of OK Street or of Youngblood Hill. I didn't talk to anybody else in town. This is a local issue. So that's a bunch of residents, and it's several businesses, both hotels, the Eldorado Suites and the Bisbee Inn, are adamantly against this and have a lot of reasons. I'm not going to try to say why it's a bad idea, but all these people think it's a bad idea. Something I would like to mention is some other problems that we have on OK Street with traffic. Somebody barreled down OK Street about a month ago in a big old dump truck and tore out the signs at the junction of the little ramp going down right in front of the Pythian Castle. And those signs have laid in the street now for a month. And they indicated a speed limit 15 miles an hour. They indicated no truck traffic either up OK Street or down the ramp. And also there was a 4-ton limit on those signs. As it is now, there's still the sign left that involved going down the hill. That's just 5 miles an hour. A lot of us on OK Street feel that that's a reasonable speed, that 15 miles an hour is too fast for OK Street. And we certainly think the trucks should not go up OK Street or down the ramp. but they have been. And a porta potty truck the other day tore into the brewery down there because it's not posted. And didn't hurt the brewery, but it really tore the paint off the truck delivering porta potties for the Rotary. But signage on Alkay Street is an interesting issue because what happens is people turn around at the top of Alkay Street, and several residents up there have had their cars hit by people getting up there and then getting scared of the hill and trying to turn around. There's not really much room there. So we're thinking about the need for a sign that says residential neighborhood, egress, impossible or difficult. We don't know how to phrase it, but first of all, those bigger vehicles, hopefully, if it's signed right, won't be trying this.
Thank you, sir.
Am I up on my time?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But thank you very much.
I want to turn this over to the city clerk.
Thank you.
That'll become public record?
Yes.
Thank you. It will, sir. And we will ask staff to just to follow up on potential signage, depending on how, well, tonight, no matter how the vote goes, there still needs to be some signage addressed. So that will be done. Thank you. Monica Patience. Welcome, Ms. Patience.
Thank you. Okay, I live on 206 Alkay Street. It's on Upper Alkay Street. So I'm thinking about this, and because I live there, I feel I have to have an opinion about this. And what I think is that actually, one way is okay, it's good. But I think that we that live there should be able to go two ways. So we could have like a permit for the people living on Okay Street. And then it should be maybe be a one-way street, but so it, we could go back and forth, because you need to go back. Sometimes you need a, can't go down by here because it's icy and such. So you would be afraid of going down there. But otherwise, I think a one-way street is okay, because otherwise you come up and you meet somebody, and then you are coming up Okay Street, and then you have to back down, and it's very, it could be very scary. So thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Sam Presley.
Welcome. Sam Presley, I live at 77 Okay Street. I've been there 18 years now. I think the idea of making Okay Street one way is terrible, and I wouldn't, you know, be in favor of that under almost any condition. There are lots of things that the city really should look at do on Okay Street, but mostly has to do. Young Bud Hill has to be better maintained. Very often there's loose items on Young Bud Hill. And so, very common thing, motorcycle riders go up Okay Street, and then frequently they are literally afraid to go down Young Bud Hill. And lots of people drive on Okay Street who absolutely do not know how to back up. And so if something, one of the things I thought could be done, it's actually possible for two cars to pass in front of my house. There are several locations along Okay Street where it actually can happen. If there was a way to mark those, one way might be an actual center line, but in a way to show people, because people from out of town are afraid of that street. And so they stop in the middle of it and block traffic because they're just freaked out by the fact that it's this weird street. But if you look in front of the entrance to the El Dorado Suites parking, if you look in the front of the entrance to my place and further up the hill, there are several places where it is possible to pass. but people don't believe it. So very commonly, I get called from my porch down to help people out because they literally, and of course the underlying problem is lots of people can't drive, but I get called down.
I wish we could solve that.
Yeah, well, you know, but anyway, I think there are things that can be done, but I think it has to be studied more carefully. But I would not be in favor of turning the street into a one-way street.
Thank you, sir. Randy
Willoughby.
Willoughby, thank you. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I live at the top of OK Street, 207 OK Street. And although I feel sympathetic to the residents and the businesses down on the lower end, I do actually favor OK Street becoming a one-way because I think in terms of allowing emergency vehicles to safely and expeditiously go up OK Street in case they have to, the way that it's currently set up, it's extremely challenging, if not impossible sometimes. And I think anybody who uses that street knows that it's challenging to navigate sometimes. I think it's pretty dangerous as a street marked 15 miles an hour with two-way traffic and several blind curves. At the very minimum, there should be some sort of a review of speed limit there to make sure that we're being as safe as we can there. Although I have mixed feelings about tourists coming up and checking out the road and stuff, I know that's part of the draw of Bisbee, and I wouldn't really want to put that off limits to everybody, but I do think that it'd be a lot safer to keep traffic moving in one direction, especially since we have several blind curves and stuff.
Thank you, sir. Trudy Lynn. Whoops, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're the maybe down the road. Okay. I think we got him on.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Obviously, I don't need to introduce this anymore. We all know that we're looking at the geometric design of OK Street, the existing geometric design. I was asked by Police Chief Uchave and subsequently by Council Member Hawking to review this. I give you all a full report. I'll just briefly go over what I found. OK Street is a narrow road. It's the section from Naco Road to Youngblood Hill Avenue is approximately a third of a mile. The width of that length range from about 8 feet and then 8 feet 2 inches to 30 feet wide, and that's at the top of the hill, the OK Street at Youngblood Hill Avenue. And again, currently it is a two-way road. The American Association of State Highway and Traffic Officials, ASHTO for short, sets the guidelines for geometric design on roads. And they recommend that residential roads or low speed roads are between 10 and 11 feet wide, with the exception where there are extreme right-of-way challenges, and it's acceptable to be at 9 feet wide. The minimum width for parking lane is 7 feet wide. So that gets us to, in my report, I suggest that I put the 16 feet foot wide, 9 feet for travel lane, 7 feet for any kind of parking. The International Fire Code states that fire lanes should be a 20-foot wide fire lane, unobstructed, but that is for a two-lane road, so that does meet or follow what the ASHTO guidelines state. There are three locations that the road is under 9 feet wide. And there's a diagram in the report. There are two locations where the road is wide enough to allow for two-way traffic. One of those locations, if there were two-way traffic, would eliminate the possibility for parking, and that is one place that there's parking. So, again, if you, in my report, I recommend that we change the OK Street to a one-way street with temporary two-way traffic allowed for snow and ice events. But it would easily be accomplished by having signs that are changeable. There are a number of ways that we can do that. That's not a problem. With that, if there are any other questions?
So you're talking about we're going to install flip signs that basically...
They can be flip signs. There are other signs that fit over the top of signs, and I was thinking more of that route, but that doesn't have to be. I was thinking that route just so that we didn't have people going to change signs. When we knew that a storm event was coming, that where it was possible, we were getting snow or ice, we would go and change that.
And that's all I was, where I was going was that we would have to have somebody probably in your department.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually physically going up and changing signs back and forth.
Yes, and those signs, they either flip or they fit right over the top. Sure. It's not something that takes very long.
Okay, and what was the fire department's, for people here, what was the fire department's take on that?
I did submit the report to Mrs. Coleman and the fire chief and the police chief, if they want to ask them.
Yeah, I would, because a lot of people here, I'm sure, and watching, haven't read the packet, and I'd like them to know what our public safety people said. Fire chief.
Yeah, through the fire department, when we met on this, we also agreed, due to safety reasons, to be a one-way street for easy access for emergency vehicles. Several times, we responded up there for EMS calls, counter fire calls, and we've been blocked in by vehicles coming down. And then they've got to start backing up or finding a place to pull over, and then that delays response time for us to get to a patient or another emergency. So, fire department is supportive in that way.
Thank you, sir. And our police chief, Cuba Chapman.
Evening, Mayor, Council, City Staff, members of the public. As Mr. Harrell indicated, I approached him with this idea for the exact reasons that were mentioned. We've had increased the amount of call volume up there for situations like this. Vehicles that have been hit by cars trying to turn around and come back down rather than take the street down the hill. It is a challenge to navigate for some people. Some people are intimidated by that road, but it does become a public safety concern. We've had fire responses a few times up on Inglewood Hill in the past years, and the worst thing to have is a driver who has a hard time backing up, need a fire truck or an ambulance, and delay the response for those critical resources. So. I asked Mr. Harrell to look into this, and he put together a great report, and I, my agency, myself, do support it as well.
Thank you, sir. Did I understand correctly that by making this two-way, we're going to lose some parking?
No. So there are a couple of places that there is wide enough to make it two-way. If we did allow it, you would lose parking. The 16-foot wide will, if we stick with that as a minimum, will still maintain those few places that it is wide enough for parking.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Harrell? Ms. Klein?
So are you going to apply the ASHTO guidelines on every street in Old Bisbee?
If that's what we're directed to, yes.
You know, you'll have quite the mess on your hands.
That's why I brought it to council.
Ms. Hanson.
I've been up okay. I am one of those that was very intimidated by it, because I do not like having to back up. However, Blood Street, or Youngblood, is not a good street either.
It is pretty steep.
And that's my only concern, is that we're just kind of, you know, flipping one for another.
we can, you know, we can do our best to sign and give some warning to people that, you know, there's no turnaround, and at the top there's going to be a steep decline. We can do our best to warn people, give advance notice.
The other thing is, I know that there is a problem parking up there, and I think that the one-way street would help immensely with that, because there's been several times where people have been talking about not only having their car hit, but people not being able to get through because of the way the parking was, or not being able to park because now because it's been designated as a no parking. So I think going one way might open it up a little bit more.
That's why it was the intent of when my report saying that if we went to a one way road of doing their best to maintaining the existing parking.
Yeah. I'm sorry, sir, you're not signed up.
Had a good one for you.
Any other questions? What's your word?
I don't necessarily have a question. I'm concerned that we're doing something to a community instead of working with them. And it especially when we have a petition signed by 34 mm-hmm. residents of the street saying that they don't want this. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe that safety needs to be paramount. And it does concern me that we have emergency vehicles getting stuck up there. I think that's very important. And I learned to drive here, and OK Street intimidates me, and I treat it like a one-way street. But I have got several phone calls this week, and none of them are in support of this. So I'm very torn, is how I'm going to phrase this, because, you know, I look at this report, and my instincts say this is a good thing, but then I listen to the people who actually live up there. And I had one woman call and give me an example and say, well, you know, I had a chair delivered to my house this week and the furniture truck couldn't get down Youngblood Hill, so they had to back down. And so I feel like we're still going to run into situations where it's going to get treated like a two-way street, no matter what we try to do. So how can we, I guess I do have a question, how are we going to account for that? Because I feel like even though we can make arrangements for inclement weather, what about situations like that? What if we get a novice driver who doesn't want to go down Youngblood Hill, or we get a car with bad brakes that doesn't want to go down Youngblood Hill, or we get any number of situations where they don't want to go down Youngblood Hill and they end up coming back down the other way for whatever reason illegally? How are we going to handle that?
That's really kind of a rhetorical question, though, right?
But it's going to become a practical
question.
No,
that's, I'm not suggesting it's not.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, I'm not suggesting, I didn't think you were suggesting Mr. Harrow had an answer.
Well, but I mean, we're going to have to answer it in the real world here if we do this.
I would say that would be an enforcement question.
It is an enforcement question,
Really, what I tried to focus on were the facts. This is what
exactly.
The road is.
Yeah.
This is what our guidelines state, and you would, that's what I tried to focus on.
And thank you. So you did a great job.
You want to answer that?
I was going to say, would you mind repeating the question one more please?
So we have in the report, we do have, you know, parameters for how we're going to deal with inclement weather. We're going to put up signs that we can change out, and we're going to allow it to temporarily be a two-way street. But I just see other situations arising where people are going to treat it like a two-way street. One constituent who called me over the weekend told me about, she said she got a chair delivered to her house, and she said that the furniture truck could not get down Youngblood Hill, so it had to back down the street. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, what if we get someone, like, okay, when I was in driver's ed, Mr. Frosco totally took me down Youngblood Hill. What if I got to Youngblood Hill and didn't want to go down, and we had to turn around and come back? I just feel like there are other situations where that is going to get treated like a two-way street, even if we make it into a one-way street, and how are we going to handle that from a law enforcement perspective?
So I would say from a law enforcement perspective, it'd be handled just like any other situation, any other violation. The officer responding to that, or who observes that violation, has the discretion to deal with that as the officer deems necessary to rectify the situation, whether it be issue a citation or issue a verbal warning or issue a written warning. The officer has that discretion to do those things. So those would be addressed in that situation the exact same way they'd be addressed if somebody was speeding down the road. They would be dealt with. And again, I mentioned this to Jesus because some of the issues that we've dealt with, I do agree with some of the suggestions with the signage and letting people know that if you don't live up there, you probably really shouldn't be driving up there, because that is part of the problem, is having some people that kind of cruising through there, if you will, increasing the traffic flow. That poses a problem. People, tourists coming in, they don't know what lies ahead. And so we could prevent some of that from going up there. That would help the situation. But it is a challenge, and it is a challenge driving up there, answering a call for service. It's easy for us. Our cars are much smaller than the fire department's ambulances and rescue truck and the fire truck. That poses a problem. There are other streets like this within Bisbee that we've had to deal with recently. Maxfield's another one. We can't make that a one-way street because we wouldn't be able to get out. But we have people traveling to these areas who are unfamiliar, and then we end up with a car on the side of the mountain, and it takes 3 days for us to get it out. Those are challenges that we're dealing with, and we're just trying to find ways to lessen those challenges. And so this was one idea that was brought before me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I will indicate that I am always a big proponent of when we ask staff to do something and when they provide us the answers, the correct answers, to follow those answers, because that's what we have them for. In this particular case, I have to admit that when we're presented with a petition of close to everybody that is affected by this, it says, please don't do this, then that is something that, that's where we have to put on our, I have to put on my politician hat and say that if that's what the people want or don't want, then that's the way I'm going to have to do. And I know that staff understands that, maybe not appreciates it, but they understand that. So, you know, that's my my statement on it, along with that if this doesn't pass, I would like to see us make a concerted effort on signage and seeing what we can do up there to try to make the situation better through signage. Mr. Higgins.
Okay. On the face of it, driving on OK Street is quite a challenge. There's no doubt about it. The idea that it's a two-way street is kind of mind-blowing the first time you drive down it. And I originally thought that it would probably be a good idea to make it into a one-way street. But then when I started talking to residents of OK Street, they gave me a lot of good reasons why it shouldn't be, particularly people that lived on both ends. The people that live on the Youngblood Hill end, they're adamantly opposed to this for a number of reasons. A lot of them, to get to their houses, they come up the gulch and go up Youngblood to get to their houses. And this would eliminate that. And people also on the other end down where the hotels are, they're adamantly opposed to this also. People in the middle, it really doesn't affect them as much, but it still has an effect on them. I know that it's a difficult problem, and I really, I very often want to listen to the police and the fire department because they're experts in this. And also, Jesus put a lot of work into this, going out measuring and putting this whole package together. But the people have pretty much spoken. We have a great turnout here tonight. A number of people that came and signed up to speak on this issue. And the petition that Peter Young took up. And like David said, that's almost everybody up there that wants to continue it the way it is. So my inclination at first was, this might not be a bad idea. But the people who live here, they want it kept the way it is. And I know that we've lived with this situation for all these years. And I think that we're going to have to continue to live with this situation as far as I'm concerned. Of course, additional signage is a great idea. And maybe there's some places up there where parking might have to be restricted to allow people, ways around the curbs. But a good look at signage. And also, we could use additional signage on Brewery Avenue itself. We have people running up and down Brewery Avenue like it's a racetrack. And maybe some additional signage there might help. My inclination is to listen to the people that live there, and they seem to be pretty adamantly against it. So I'd like to see this die.
Ms. Klein.
Our streets in Old Bisbee are a challenge. I mean, there's no getting around that. But we've lived with this street like this for well over 100 years, and I think we'll survive. And as far as emergency vehicles and response time, I mean, most of you know that I always support that. But that's why we have specially built fire trucks for the streets in Old Bisbee. We also know that they're trained on how to maneuver them, and they know what to do. This isn't the only street that, ambulances and fire trucks have had to back down or whatever. Parking is an issue. It has been forever, but, way back when, not everybody had a car, and those that did had one, not two or three like we do now. So I think that might be causing, some of the parking issues up there. But I don't know. I am opposed to it.
Yeah, when OK Street went in, it was how many horses or mules you had, not how many cars you had.
Mayor, I would have a comment also. I've gone back two or three times, switching back and forth. The biggest thing was the issue of safety and getting the fire department up there. But I have to agree, when you have that many people that have signed up that don't want it, that maybe what needs to be done is to sit down with the people that live on OK Street and talk to them to see what they see as the biggest problems and whether or not anything can be resolved with it. But the way it is right now, I wouldn't be able to vote for this either.
Yes.
I would be more than willing anytime to sit down with the residents of OK Street and discuss this, but I believe they have spoken already. I believe the petition and the attendance at tonight's meeting pretty much is an indication of how they feel. So,
would somebody like to make a motion? Item number six. Discussion of possible approval to enter into a service agreement with Jacobs/Operations Management, Inc. to procure and manage SCADA system upgrades at the San Jose Water Treatment, Wastewater Treatment Plant. Mr. Harrell.
Good evening again, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The SCADA system. SCADA is an acronym for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. Our system there is beginning to fail. The SCADA is not allowing for the programmable logic controller and the human machine interface systems to read it correctly. Those systems are necessary so that the plant can do, have automatic changes. In addition, the SCADA is not allowing the dissolved oxygen monitor to read correctly. That can result in it using too much power and not in taxing the blowers. It also can affect the UV system, being unable to determine the power needed for disinfection. Jacobs is obviously our operating company, and they feel very confident that they know what they're doing. They're going to be utilizing the actual manufacturer of our original SCADA system to make sure that it gets repaired. We also have members of Jacobs here if you have any specific questions about how it operates.
Yeah, didn't we replace the SCADA, the computer for SCADA?
The computer for SCADA,
okay. All right, okay. Got it.
Okay.
We had Ms. Coleman. Have you discussed with the city attorney the questions that?
I believe that he can answer any questions.
Jim, are you there, sir?
Yes.
we received an inquiry about bidding on this particular item, whether it was required. So it's the bottom line is, in lay terms, it's illegal to do it this way. Discussion or motions?
Mayor, I have a question.
Mr. Mayor, I signed up for this agenda.
Where are you?
I signed up.
There you are. You're at number 7. Al, I apologize. Yes, sir. You were waving at me. I thought we were...
Oh, just communicating some more. Okay.
Yeah. Come on up, Al.
All right. Al Anderson, 942 West Boulevard. I am pro-competitive bidding. I think the city ought to be at competitive bids on just about everything we can. And I hear your attorney saying that there's some type of agreement with a plant operator that maybe we can not have to go to competitive bidding, but it never hurts the city. And the city has a long history of not competing stuff enough, in my opinion. Now, I know that there's... I'm a little confused about this. So this is a procurement, and it's my understanding that it would be to supply and install and warranty a new SCADA system and train the plant operators on how to use it. But the maintenance of the plant, this doesn't affect the maintenance of the plant, other than it helps the plant run smoother, and it certainly helps the operators monitor the plant. But there are a lot of sources in Southeast Arizona and close to Bisbee that can supply this equipment, this instrumentation, and give us competitive prices. Now, if there's an urgency to it, that's fine. I would say put it out to bid and, you know, close the bids in 2 weeks. I think that's reasonable. But our price can only go down, I can guarantee you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, my apologies for missing you.
That's all right.
I frankly saw your name, but assumed it was for a different item, so I am sorry. Mr. Haro, what is our, is this an emergency?
Well, it's definitely not functioning correctly. With our last rainstorm that we had a large amount of influent into the wastewater treatment plant, so much so that it overflowed the lift station there at the wastewater treatment plant. The SCADA system wasn't able to detect that, wasn't able to make adjustments, and it wasn't able to contact Jacobs to let them know that something was going on.
Well, that sort of sounds like something that needs to be sooner than a later thing here. Council? I totally agree with Mr. Anderson that we need to absolutely be diligent on bids and getting the lowest absolute prices available to us. However, if this is a situation that is costing us money or could, even worse, cost us an ADEQ ding, then I'm for listening to the advice of counsel indicating that it is okay in this case. Quite bluntly, the ADEQ potential ding would sway my vote. Yes?
The SCADA, I know that we've been having problems with that particular piece of equipment. Long before, before Jacobs started managing the wastewater, was the problems with the SCADA the reason that we had the deficiencies with the ADEQ? Yeah.
No, I don't believe they wanted.
Yes, sir. Please. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here.
Hi, yeah, I'm Jason. I'm the project manager. I've been doing this for 4 years. The system as it was, the SCADA system will monitor, but you have to have operators that understand what it's telling them. And the system that you had, the problems you had were due to insufficient monitoring of it to allow the wet testing to go bad, which caused ADEQ to come in. Right now, the system is not calling us out, and the bidder that's bid on it is the one that manufactured it, Aqua Aerobics. That's the bid. They manufactured it, so they're going to get. And I've done this bids from somewhere. I believe in bids, believe me. But I've done this. I did Safford. I ran a place in Las Vegas, ran their treatment 150 million gallon plant. And if you get, you're going to get bids on them, but if someone's already got a foot in the door and they built the equipment, it's already, they put it in there 10 years ago, they're going to give you the best upgrade price. If somebody else comes in, they're going to give you a retrofit, which is going to, cost more. In my experience, the SCADA problems we had in Safford were about $100,000 worth. The bids came in at $300,000. Extra bids. These were companies, competent companies, and I liked them all. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing personal in this. But if they're coming in fresh, they're going to make it, they're going to have to replace everything you've had. And they don't have the inside drawings that these people have. The work that you had done earlier was for the PC there and the computer program that's called the HMI, the Human Machine Interface, where that calls us out. The literal hardware is behind that low-grade cabinet. That's 10 years old, obsolete. It can't talk to you. This upgrade will provide a historian that will give you recordable data for here, from now until eternity. And it also gives you time since critical data. Like when we're not there at the plant, 16 hours during the night, it's recording everything. It can make adjustments automatically based on that data that it records. And all that data is in stored in perpetuity for you guys. I mean, it's there always. You'll be able to, you know, look at this data, and it's a check against our operations also. There's nothing there now, absolutely nothing there. When we come in the morning, it's a clean slate. So this is brings you up to the 21st century. And also, and potentially, it'll bring in your lift station that you're having problems with. All this can be brought in to the system, so it can all be one system that can call out. It can greatly simplify your entire water wastewater operations.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other questions for this gentleman? Thank you, sir. Really appreciate your attendance. Any questions? Do we have a motion?
I I don't have a question, just a comment. To me, this is listed as an out-of-scope issue. To me, it shouldn't be an out-of-scope issue. It should be just part of the day-to-day operations that should be covered under a contract.
The purchase of hardware?
Part of operating the plant, doesn't matter. I don't see it as...
Well, that's not what the contract says, Ms. Klein.
There's a lot of things about that contract, but...
Any other comments? Any motion?
I move to enter into a service agreement with Jacobs Operations Management Incorporated to procure and manage SCADA system upgrades at San Jose Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 4-1. Item number 7. Discussion of possible approval to enter into a service agreement with the WLB Group to design repairs to a retaining wall located above 75C O.K. Street. Back to O.K. Street, Mr. Harrell.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mayor. This property has a wall above it. This wall holds up a walkway that serves multiple residents further up, different owners. The wall did fail. It had its sinkhole. It failed. And this is the property that Mrs. Coleman brought up, I believe it was last meeting. So we do have a cooperative contract. We have a on-call contract with the WLB Group, which is already designing other walls repairs. So I had them come out there and give us a proposal. We don't know what the final design concept will be as of yet. Once they get that to us, then we can decide how we want to proceed.
Questions?
Is this our retaining wall?
Yes.
Or is it?
This one is a wall that pulls up a public walkway that serves multiple residents, not just one resident. There's two properties directly above the 75C property, and there are additional properties even further up the stairs that utilize this public walkway.
Okay, so no part of this retaining wall is privately owned in any sections of it?
To my understanding, no.
Anything else? Do we have a motion?
I move to enter into a service agreement with the WLB Group to design repairs to a retaining wall located above 75C O.K. Street.
I second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Hart. Item number 8, discussion of possible approval of an RFP/RFQ for architectural and engineering services, (A&E), for the design of the new City Hall building. Ms. Coleman, City Manager.
Yes, so I think it's been a month. And in the meantime, I did have an opportunity to reach out to Al Anderson and spend some time with him on Friday afternoon. Talking about how to proceed with an RFP/RFQ. I have to give him credit for a lot of the documentation that you see in front of you. It was very helpful in the process. And aside from a few adjustments to numbers of employees, dates for receiving responses, this is pretty much a document that a professional has provided for us.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I'd like to publicly thank Mr. Anderson for all of his pro bono hard work on our behalf in reference to this. So thank you, sir. Any questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move to approve the RFP, RFQ for architectural and engineering services for the design of a new City Hall building to include allowing city staff to provide pertinent information on the RFP, RFQ, and attachments as required.
I second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye, motion passes unanimously. And again, thank you. Thank you, staff. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. That's 2 years, so let's get this thing going.
We will have that published in the paper on Thursday, which will meet our 30-day publication requirement. And then we can also send that out to other outlets that architects and engineers are checking on a regular basis.
Wonderful. Thank you. Discussion of possible, item number 9, discussion of possible approval of a memorandum of understanding, MOU, between the Cochise County 911 administrator and the Bisbee Police Department to establish the administration of the emergency telecommunication system revolving fund. Ms. Coleman, that I see the police chief, so I'm going to guess that Chief Achavi is going to handle this.
He is. He got delegated.
Sir?
So this is a the paperwork that you have in your packet. Most of that is just supporting documentation, naming Susan Papatrafon from CCOM as the 911 administrator. The MOU that I'm brought forward asking to enter into is the last three or two pages of your packet, and it's just a it's pretty standard for. I guess we've done this a few times over the past couple of years. It's just an agreement that we have entering in. She is our PSAP coordinator. She's been delegated by the state as such, and she is the one that handles all of our stuff. We have quarterly meetings with all the other PSAPs around the county, and she is the administrator of that, handles training. She was a played a very key role in our 911 upgrade that we did a few months ago. Spent a lot of time here with us, and this is just another piece of that.
Thank you. Any questions of the chief? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, between Cochise County 911 Administrator and the Bisbee Police Department to establish the administration of the Emergency Telecommunication System Revolving Grant Fund.
Second. We have a motion, we have a second, Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye, motion passes unanimously. Item number 10, discussion of possible direction to staff regarding low-income and affordable housing development initiatives to include but not limited to partial number 102-15-114-C, zoned C2, comprised of 8.65 acres. Ms. Coleman.
So I was not there, but I do understand that there was a housing coalition meeting that took place over a week ago.
That's right.
And that during that conversation, there was interest in some very developable acres that currently belong to the city. So this would be that specific parcel, expanded though, to accept direction from the council on how to proceed to work with the other agencies that were involved in the conversation, and also to allow us to expand upon conversation about other areas that might potentially provide some low-income or affordable housing for residents.
Yes, thank you. This is something that we became involved with some 2 weeks ago, involving affordable housing and low-income housing in the Tucson area, the Tucson Bisbee area, Tucson, because Tucson Habitat is involved, we're working with the County Health Department. Judith Gilligan in identifying needs as well as Cochise County, affordable housing.
County Development.
County Development, that's, they changed the name then, right? That's why I'm hesitant. So anyway, the county's involved, we're involved, Habitat is involved, as well as another development group.
SEGO's involved.
SEGO is involved, thank you, Ms. Jones. So there's many people involved and organizations involved in this. And one potential was the 8.65 acres behind Safeway, which is owned by the city, because of its proximity to Safeway, which answers, as they say, ticks the boxes for the state requirements on tax breaks on development, providing tax breaks on development.
Low-income housing.
And the low-income housing, absolutely. Thank you. So that's why I asked for this to be brought forward, because I didn't quite honestly want to continue our discussions with this group if the city council was saying, we are not even interested in providing that 8 acres or 8.65 acres for housing. So that's why it was being brought forward. This isn't a commitment. We're not voting. We're providing direction to staff. But I'd like to have a brief conversation so that we understand how the city council that's present feels about this, about us actually being the people that provide land for multiple affordable housing. Now, let me. If Habitat is the one involved in this, they're one of several potential players. If they're the ones involved in this, their business model is not to come in and to put all one type of housing in, because that, quite honestly, if it's all low-income housing, they believe that that creates a ghetto. And what they instead do is put different types of housing, affordable, low-income, apartments, things like this, so that it's multi-use within the area, which keeps the area viable. And so that's kind of where we're at. Ms. Jones, would you like to add anything? Anything?
I think you hit all the important parts. Habitat does developments where 20% of the houses are affordable housing, and the 80% of the houses are market rate, so they're sold to people who would be paying what you would be paying for any other house. And then Habitat builds exclusively single family homes, and but the county is also looking at what, because I've been working on this project too in my day job. And we've been looking at also partnering with other developers who don't just build single family homes, but who build apartment complexes geared not just toward people who are interested in home ownership, but geared toward people who can't handle home ownership, who can't even get to that level. So we're looking at maybe developing that acreage in a multitude of ways. If you guys agree to this, you know, so yeah, there are all kinds of possibilities, but we just want to bring it before council now and kind of get the stamp of approval to say that's what we want to use that land for, hopefully. So, but there are all kinds of possibilities, and it's really up to us. But we've got developers interested beyond Habitat as well, and but yeah, we've got County Development and Health Department and SEGO, and Gorman USA is a developer out of...
That's the one I was going to read.
Yeah, and they're a big national developer who built low-income housing, and I'm trying to remember who else. I think we've covered everybody between the two of us.
Yeah, okay. Ms. Coleman?
Yeah, I did want to say that this does not identify the mechanism by which the property would be utilized, and I will continue to work with your attorney to identify the best way to move forward.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and then this item is simply to provide direction to staff that are we interested in pursuing this, or is the council say absolutely this is nothing we care about. So, yes, Ms. Hanson, please.
I think that this is absolutely fantastic, because this has been long needed in Bisbee. And to have the different types of housing, I think, is great. I think this is a really good start.
Thank you, Ms. Klein.
Well, you know, housing is very critical here, but I would really, if this is something we decide we would like to do, I'd really like to see us have a work session.
Oh, sure.
And bring everything out, and hopefully bring, you know, residents out who would benefit from this.
Absolutely. Yeah, this it would be precluding any of that. It's just direction to staff. We definitely, if this moves forward at council's direction, then we definitely would have a work session in order to discuss specifics and what we're willing to do, and so forth. So absolutely. I just and after, I think, probably more negative, if there's anything negative about this, I think we really want to hear about it. Otherwise, then, you know, we would be directing staff to proceed as these meetings continue and the data comes into them to be able to take that and obviously there's things down the road with zoning changes and things like this. This is a C2, which isn't going to work. So there's things like that, Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I think the staff should move forward on this. And of course, you know, we'll have work sessions, as you say, as the data comes in. And, you know, I like to get this done, you know, while Jimmy Carter's still alive, maybe he can come help us out.
Thank you. Ms. Coleman, I assume, and Mr. Harrow and Mr. Ledbetter, I assume that you understand from the comments where what we would appreciate to how we would appreciate you to proceed.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Here we are at that time of the evening. It's the city manager's report. Ms. Coleman.
Yeah, I did include your property tax oversight commission levy report. It basically confirms that what you had budgeted for 2019 does meet the requirements for your property tax levy. I also had an opportunity to meet with the Ward 1 council members to discuss Erie Street and the cars that are parked on the street. And to work with the police chief to come up with a workable solution. We'll be reaching out to the property owners there once we iron out details, but things like length of time that a car could sit on the street given a right-of-way permit to do so, cars being licensed, being operable, those kinds of things, and then working with Public Works to find out what days would it be preferable to not have any cars parked on the street to be able to do street maintenance or street sweeping, that kind of work. So once I iron out the details, I'll let you know.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Hanson, we're down to comments from the council.
Thank you.
And we don't care that you're going on a three-week cruise tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
actually, it's 28 days.
Oh, that was counting.
I just wanted to update on the public on the committees that I'm the liaison for. First of all, I wanted to, on the cemetery committee, that Grace Wiggins is very, very involved with the Reeves Across America. So I wanted to give you an update on where we're at, the number of grave sites, and it's an estimate because they can't find all of them. But anyway, there's about 900 grave sites that are veterans in Evergreen and about 100 in Memorial Gardens. And right now, they have enough donations or people that have contributed for 587, which I think is really great because that's much more than last year. So I'm just trying to encourage people and just to let people know that there's still time to make donations. For one wreath, it's $15. You can do it in honor of somebody, you can do it in memory of somebody, or you can just do it because you love veterans. The other thing is that if you are going to use these paper copies, which are the applications, and mail them in yourself, please have them mailed in or by the November 25th. Because the deadline for online ordering is 1 December. And hopefully we will get up to close to the number that we need. And I'm very happy with the response that we have gotten this year. And I think that the more that it's advertised, more people will hear about it and want to contribute. And thank you for all the people that have contributed to that. The next one is the Parks and Rec Committee. And at the last meeting, there was discussion on purchasing three freestanding bulletin boards for San Jose, and two for San Jose and one for Warren. And this was brought forward by Donna Pulling. And she had talked to the construction the high school construction, and they have agreed to take on the project. And so there will be two bulletin boards that will be built by them. One will be in Warren, and right now we're looking at that going into where the Vista Park, where the farmer's market is. And the other one, we're looking at the library annex. It's not set in stone, but I'm just telling you that there will be two boards that can be used for events, people that want to advertise events. But keep in mind, it is not an official city public notice place. So if you see something that is not an official site, I don't even know what they are now since we've moved twice.
Both post office have locations. We're going to be getting another one here.
Okay. So, the last thing is...
This isn't an official... Never mind.
What is...
Sorry.
What?
Sorry. I'm violating my rules.
Oh. I'm not saying it couldn't become one, but it's not an official... It won't be an official site until that goes to council. Or Ashley approves. And the last is the Youth Council. We've been having some trouble trying to find individuals for the Youth Council. However, Ms. Coleman and Ms. Coronado have been working very diligently. As you saw, we or maybe you didn't see, but there was one individual who was approved for the Youth Council. I have talked to another individual. Ms. Coleman has talked to a couple people that are interested, and also to one of the teachers who have about six or seven. So hopefully, by the 1st of December, we'll be able to have them. So that's all I have.
Thank you, ma'am. Travel safe. Mr. Havens.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Those in favor, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned. Mr. Ledbetter, thank you, sir.
So what can you do in a second?